theyeshiva.net.
Good morning, everybody. Baruchim Aboyim. We began last year on Monday a new maimer, a Purim Dika maimer, Purim Tashrim Tesvov, Purim 1955 by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which began on the Pasuk Reishis Goyim Amalek Vacharisai Adei Oved. In Bilam's prophetic declarations, he speaks about the nation of Amalek, and he says, Reishis Goyim Amalek, which literally means Amalek was the first nation to combat, to declare war on the Jewish people, especially that he was unprovoked and completely not triggered in any way, and there was no perceived threat, not territorially, not politically, not militarily. So he was the first one. The Medrash says that it's like a hot bath that everybody is scared to touch, and then somebody jumps in, even though they get burnt, they get scorched, but it's worth it for them in order to cool it off for others. And that was Amalek when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim. Tipul Alei, as we sing, as they sang in the Shiras Hayam, in the song at the sea, Tipul Alei Me Masa Vafachad, Oznev Hala Alufei Edei Me Le Moe Vechazei Me Rad, Namegu Kol Yishvichnan. Everybody was taken over by awe, by reverence. So Amalek came and said, Vas is this Spilus? There's nothing to get very inspired by, and he jumps into the bath, to the hot bathtub, even though he himself gets hurt by it. So this is Reishis Goyim Amalek. He's the beginning of the opposition, the genesis of it all. And thus, Acharisoi at the end, Adei Oved. Usually we say all the nations will be transformed. And here there's something Oved, which means it will perish, it will be obliterated. That's the beginning, that's how he began. I just wanted to mention today's class is dedicated by Nancy Miller in honor of her parents' yard sites, Reb Moshe ben Elazar on the 6th of Adar, the 22nd yard site of Reb Moshe ben Elazar, and Cyril Bas David, whose yard site is on the 6th of Adar Aleph, Adar 1, the 16th yard site. May they continue to be good interpreters for their family and for Klal Yisrael. Amen. Thank you very, very much. Tehei Nishmasam Tzruda B'Tzeret HaChaim, also dedicated Leilu Nishmas, Esther Bas Reb Yaakov Shlomo, who passed away on Chavtes Shvat in Tel Aviv. Now since it says that the Torah is eternal in every time and every space, and everything in the physical world comes from the spiritual reality, so this encounter with Amalek is something that's applicable in every time and in every generation. And this, he starts off a whole explanation. Amalek represents chutzpah and gaiva. Chutzpah, I don't know how you translate that, but it's already an English word. And gaiva, arrogance. And this is Reishis Goyim, it's the beginning of all the seven midas, the seven tribes in Canaan representing seven midas. And Amalek is the beginning of it, the beginning of all the negative and toxic midas, and therefore Acharisei Adei Oved. In order to explain all of this, started Perek Beis chapter 2, which we focused on also in last year. And that is that the Medrash says that every name, every soul has five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. And these represent five states of the soul. And this is going to be the major discussion, a main discussion in this Maimer. Nefesh is on the bottom. You have higher Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. When you say higher and lower, it doesn't mean in space. Something is on the top floor, and the next floor, and the next floor. Higher and lower means it touches deeper aspects of the self. It also says that nefesh, this says in Kabbalah, that the Eitz Chaim says this, and Evan Ezra also brings this in Mishpatim. Nefesh is associated with the liver. Ruach is associated with the heart. And Hashem is associated with the mayach, with the brain, the mind and the brain. And then there's Chaya Yechida on top, as we'll explain soon. He started off with Neshama. Neshama, which represents Klolus Inyan HaSeichel, the ability of the soul to perceive, and perceive through Seichel. Seichel is a particular way of perception, through intellect, through understanding. Specifically, it's the quality of Bina, Bina. Because Bina actually means to understand. Same Belibeinu Bina, like we say in the morning, Lahavin, Lahaskel, Lashmaya, Lilmud, Lalamet. That's the quality of Bina. There's a pasuk, Nishmas Shaddai Tevinim. The neshama of Hashem gives us the ability to understand. At least one of the interpretations. And in understanding something, he said there's different stages. There's understanding something, you remember, there's understanding something from metaphors without, references, what we call mashalim, parables, stories, illustrations, which you always do in order to make it accessible. From there, you get access to the idea itself. And that itself, there's just a general understanding, but then there is what's called a granular understanding, which means you mafat it into pratim, you dissect it, you get all of the details. And then you can get to step three, which is you have the nekudas hatamtzus, you have the full picture, and you get to the core of the idea, to the oimek, to the ultimate core of the idea. He gives a mashal. He says, since we're talking here about the nefesh elikis, the divine soul, the divine soul is a derivative of the consciousness of infinity, so the entire identity of the divine soul is its connection and its relationship with elikus, with godliness. In other words, everything in life it experiences through the prism, through the perspective, through the lenses of divinity. That's the nefesh elikis. The nefesh elikis is not something that needs to connect itself through different methods to a concept called Hashem. It's a chelik elika mimal. It's a derivative of elikus. So bina by the nefesh elikis is to explain and see in everything and understand the elikus in it, the godliness in it. So he says, when it wants to explain to itself the whole concept of Yesh Mayayin, the creation Yesh Mayayin, and the continuous emergence of every single thing, every moment, from nothingness or from nothingness into something. So it has the paradox that on one hand, there's a koyach hapoyel benifel, the divine energy is embodied and enclosed in everything, because it creates it, it gives it sustenance, and therefore it constitutes its engine, its battery, its fuel, its identity, and its very chemistry. It's all a manifestation of the koyach hapoel benifel. So obviously the koyach has to have an erech. The koyach is relatable to the reality, because the reality is a manifestation of the koyach hapoel. On the other hand, in that very moment, the light is also the divine light, a soiv of kolalma. It's completely infinite and transcendent. So while it is completely imminent and immersed, it's not enmeshed and entangled to the point, like we learned in the Basi Lagani Maim, of Ata Mechaya Eskulam. It's Mechaya, and it's Aleph through Tav. Everything has its own letters, and therefore its own identity. But still, you say, Ani Hashem Lo Shonisi. It retains its purity. So he says, when a person, the nefesh elikis will give a mashal from it. The mashal from it is going to be the soul and the body, the self, where there's also two aspects. There's the way the soul fills the body. Chazal say that the soul is a mashal for Hashem. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'an Hashem Mamali Yisaguf. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamali Yisayilam. The Gemara says in Brachas, Baruch Hi Nafshi Yis Hashem. So you have a mashal from the soul and the body. On the other hand, from the soul and the body, you'll also have those elements of the soul that are b'chinas makif on the guf, that are not manifested in the sense that it's consciously filtered through and felt by the body. So here is a mashal for the concept of the mashal. He's giving a metaphor, an example of how the nefesh elikis does this. All the mashalim we bring from a person, from the self, it's because it's the easiest and most accessible way to understand the relationship of the truth, the true energy of the universe with the universe. And then he says, from there you come, not just to the mashal, you come to the nimshal. And then to the nimshal, not just to the idea, but also to the nekudas hatamtzus, which is the ikir, the core of it all. He says it gives you a tzutrit, it gives you access to understand the pnimiyus haseichel, the core of the idea. And the core of the idea is even beyond the garments of comprehension. Even beyond levushim, even comprehension is a levush. You get to the real, real truth of it, which is beyond comprehension. If this is true that through Bina you can get to the ultimate truth of something, even that which is beyond comprehension. This already needs explanation. And for this came the next piece, quite a revolutionary shtickel, and that is, we know that the whole very concept of seichel is a created reality. What do we mean it's a created reality? Infinity, truth, is not defined even by intellect. Just like you don't define Hashem as a rock, or as a mountain, or as a cloud, or as a star, you also don't define them as an intellect. True, it's a much more abstract definition. Yeah, a rock is a rock, and a mountain is a mountain, and a star is a star, and the sun is the sun. But seichel is not a physical reality, intellect, but it's a spiritual reality, it's a definition. That's also not a definition, that's not how you define it. How then comes the seichel? It's because there's something called Sfiris HaBina. Sfiris HaBina means that Hashem emanated from within His infinity the quality of understanding, His own understanding. He identifies within infinity. Infinity has the capacity for everything, for all details, including the quality of understanding. And this is called Bina of Olam Atzilus. What's Bina of Olam Atzilus? It's the way, the first time, so to speak, where the divine is manifested through the quality of Seichel, through the quality of Bina. And all experiences of understanding are rooted in that. The truth of Bina of Atzilus is divine understanding, so it's also infinite. But from there you have what's called Bina of Briya and Bina of Yetzirah and all the way Bina of Asiya. And every form, every brain that understands reality, it's ultimately a manifestation of Bina. And where does it begin? It begins in Atzilus. So the Neshamas, for example, sit in Gan Eden. V'nenois meziv Hashchina, the Gemara says, they enjoy, they bask in the radiance of Hashchina. What does it mean, they bask? Bask means they're toifas, they grasp, they experience through their brain and ultimately their heart and their very being is filled with the experience of the divine, which is blissful. That's Gan Eden. That's the way Bina is manifested in a world where there's created souls that can manifest it, that can experience it. All the way down to Bina down here in this world. And even in this world, you have endless manifestations of how much understanding there is, how much reality you can pick up, how much you grasp. The Baal Shem Tov once said that for every single question he has an answer, but for every answer he has another question. What's an answer in one world becomes a question relative to a higher space. And then there's an answer for that too. But then there becomes a deeper question, which becomes an invitation to yet a higher space, and so forth. According to this, it would seem that neshamas, which neshama means understanding, as we said, neshama is bina, at best, their tfisa, their grasp of experience can be, at best, till Malchus of Atzilus, or till Bina of Atzilus, because the whole experience of understanding is based on Bina. So in Havana, you can't get any higher. Here we're saying that through Bina, your Typhus, the Etzem of something, even beyond the Levushe HaSaga. On this, he asked the question that you see the Neshamas like Rashbi and the Arizal and the Nesiim afterwards spoke about things higher than Bina of Atzilus and higher even beyond Atzilus and beyond the Tzimtzum. And not only they, so first of all, how can they speak about it? And he said even a bigger question is that they spoke about it not just in a way of talking and explaining something that remains abstract, but rather, as he put it, in a way that one could have kavana in the Yichudim Elyonim, not just Yichudim Tata, but Yichudim Elah, to manifest this oneness, even in awareness of a person. And they didn't just talk about it for themselves, but for every person. Neshamas of Atzilus, Embriya, and Yitzira, and Asiya. He quoted from the Imre Bina, the Mittler Rebbe says that those who don't immerse themselves in this, it's called Poisha Yisrael b'neshmasam. It's a betrayal of the soul. It's a Poisha Yisrael with their neshama, not with their guf, with their neshama. How can a neshama even go there. How could have they gone there? Even the neshama is like Rashbi. So neshama of Atzilus, fine. So go to Bina of Atzilus, Darizal. Then they see him after Darizal, the Alter Rebbe, etc. And even if you have some explanation, how are you talking about it to regular people? Neshamas of Asiyah, most neshamas today are not neshamas of Atzilus. You can't compare it to Mesiris Nefesh, he said, because Mesiris Nefesh l'chadchila is something completely transcendent, l'mayla metam v'das. But here you're talking about Havana, you're talking about Bina, you're talking about neshama. And this was the point, this was our last point. Yeah, you remember this, yeah? What was the last point? The last point was, this was this was the Vart. That when we talk about Seder Hishtalshalos, what's Seder Hishtalshalos? The whole evolution of all the levels. It's not like some people can understand. It's explaining one level and another level and another level and then another level and another level. And as I said, it gets very confusing. Like before this, we know there's one God, and now suddenly you have millions of levels. And every level is divided into another million levels and a billion levels. It's the exact opposite. It's all in order to be able to experience the true oneness. Because what Seder Hishtalshalos represents is that Hashem, in His pure, infinite oneness, is also chose to manifest Himself through endless diversity. In Kabbalistic language, it would be called pre-tzimtzum, post-tzimtzum, eris, kelim, I'm going to use a lot of words now, kav, rishimu, akudim, nekudim, brudim, toyu, tikun, atik, arich, kesech, chachma, bina, das, chesed, gvura, malchus, atzilis, bri, yitzir, asiyah, neshamas, heichalos, alakus. In the world of Kabbalah and Chassidus, this is the language. Ar pnimi, ar makif, seviv kalalman, mamala kalalman, kula kamei kaloi chashev. So some people think, great Kabbalists, somehow every name, they have Siddurim, and every name, you mechaven another level, and somehow they know how to connect levels and work with reality. But the way that Rebbe explains it is, it's something that's relevant to every person, if you understand what it really means. And the point is, can the true oneness really be manifested? Can I and you, in your daily life, be a manifestation, an embodiment of what's of Atzmus Ein Sof? So you think that's ridiculous? Hashem in His essence, yeah, He's one, He's infinite, wherever that is, and what's after with me? I live in a space of, there are moods, there's ups, there's downs, there's experiences, and then that's even a good day. There's ups and downs and moods and experiences, and you're going here, and you're going there, and you have to deal with the daily grind of life and the details. And then there's all the triggers of a person. All the rabbit holes we're taken down into. All the different emotions and instincts and responses. And the more self-awareness there is, right, the more one sees complexity. And the complexity is not only complex as in this beautiful tapestry, that too, but it's sometimes complex in a very difficult way, in a challenging way, sometimes in a dark way. So either you say, Achdus Hashem, the oneness of infinity, is somewhere relegated to that realm, and maybe Yom Kippur by Ne'ilu at certain points in life, maybe you'll have a little glimpse of it. But the I, in all of its manifestations, is of course in a different world. So that's one extreme. Or conversely, a person denies all these parts of him, or represses it, or buries it, or ignores it. Because obviously, that can't manifest the Achdus. The whole Chiddush of Chassid, the whole Inyan of Chassidus, the whole Inyan of Seder Hishtalshalos is, and when your nervous system gets this, this is life-changing. is that the whole idea of creation was kevayochel, the courage, the vulnerable courage of Atzmos to be manifested, to be embodied in endless diversity. Every quality in a person's life, every journey, every experience, what is it? It's a manifestation of Seder Ishtalshelus. When you think about Tzilus Bri Yitzir Asiya, it's states of your own mind, it's states of your own consciousness. Sometimes a person is in Lamayla Adin Ket, sometimes a person is Lamata Adin Tachlis. So if there was only something called Chachma of Atzilus, all reality that we know would be a manifestation of, but there's also Bina of Atzilus, there's also Chesed, Gvura, Teferis, Netzach. And then there's veils and other veils, there's Bri Yitzir Asiya, every level. And Seder Ishtalshelus, it's not some level on a map, some spiritual, metaphysical, abstract map. It's really a map of reality. And every element of reality is a manifestation of another p'chin of Seder Ishtalshelus. What's Yichudim then? What's really Yichudim? Yichudim is just like Hashem. Nobody's going to say, ah, he's manifested through Gvura Vatzilus. That's it. All there is Gvura. No, it's the way, the infinite, undifferentiated, transcendent core that doesn't even have words or describing it, not even transcendence describes it, is manifested through this inyan. Doesn't limit him. It's a manifestation. It's an embodiment of it. Why is that so important? Because that means that you don't have to be afraid of any of your parts. Every dimension of life is another opportunity and an invitation to manifest that achdus, that oneness through its and it in its experience. And going into its experience, knowing this, means that it's actually you were sent there. In order to be a shutuf l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'mayis bereishis, and in one of the Maimonides it says, this is what actually heals Seder Ishtalshelus. This is what actually brings Seder Ishtalshelus back to its core, back to Atzmus. Because it was all created for the person to be able to live through that experience and bring it back to the core. So all Seder Ishtalshelus is depending on the person for its sublimation. That's what Yechudah means. Since a neshama is rooted in Atzmus Ein Sof, so the neshama has that experience. So you don't say, okay, the neshama is now stuck in Bina, so all it can get to is Bina of Atzilus. No. Even in the Bina of the neshama, it touches every truth all the way to Atzmus. It has a shaykhus to Bina, it has a shaykhus to that which is beyond Bina, to that which is beyond Tzimtzum. Now it's being manifested through Bina or through another quality. As he says, just like the Atzmus, the words are very, just like Atzmus is Nishtalshel. What does it mean Nishtalshel? It's embodied, it's manifested through things that are lower, that don't look like Atzmus. They look defined. All the way to Bina of Atzilus, and then all the way to Olam Asiya. So the Etzem HaNeshama, the core, which is one with the core of Hashem, also comes down into the world of understanding, but therefore even through understanding and in understanding, the soul is connected to that which is beyond comprehension, even beyond Seder Ishtalshelus, all the way to Mohuzva Atzmus and Sev Baruch Hu. And that's why we can say, Shema Yisrael. If you're Yisrael, Shema, hear, understand, get, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That the Shema, the understanding, can reach all the way to Hashem Echad. What are you talking about? How? Because essentially every feature of Seder Ishtalshelus is the mechanism of fusing oneness with the in totality and all the spectrums of light. You know, light, if you want to do it, light can travel in different ways, right? You always have to know the speed of it. What they call the electromagnetic field. Where is it? Above Ram? He'll give all the scientific definitions. And based on different kalim that we have in our eyes and our brain, we could pick up different frequencies of light I can't see. Not because they don't exist. Huh?
A lot.
Most. There's birds that see colors that we don't see. Not because they don't exist. We don't have the kalim to pick up those frequencies of light. Seder Ishtalshelus, you could say, every level is a different frequency of Atzmus. It's Atzmus, it's a different frequency of Eir. but never get stuck in the frequency. Never get stuck in that frequency. Always connect it back to its source. It's the source being manifested through it. This is the frequency I'm in now, because this is the avodah now. This is the frequency. Yeah, but and when you know that, so then in every frequency, you're connected to the entire source. You're not stuck there. So even Bina, he says, Bina, we look at Bina. So that's not your Bina. It's the way Atzmus comes in through Bina. And that's why all the levels are so important. People get confused. God created the world, was vilsto. Soiviv mamale. All the madregas, it's not to make more madregas. There was one Hashem and now we have billions of levels. Fakert. It's to be able to go back that it's all one. And one means really one. What does it mean, really one? Even in my system, it's one. You could say it's one somewhere there, fine, but I'm not living one. I'm living in a world of fragmentation. Milmaila maila den ketzav lamata den tachlis. That the achdus permeates, could permeate every space. That's the whole chiddush of Seder Tashlis. It's clear, you understand? You don't understand, okay? Good. Avada.
So the reason why we have these frequencies that they're saying is what exactly? How? Like I'm going out for my day, and now I don't know what frequency I'm in. How are we supposed to know what frequency we're in? What? Why?
For that, you have a wife. She'll always tell you which frequency you're in. But you have to ask and wait for the answer and not get triggered when you hear the answer. And even if you get triggered, you work through that trigger, that's also a frequency. That's also a frequency. More than you think. You're asking for somebody who's not married, okay.
Every moment things are happening.
So, well, my voice frequency is like a volume. Say happy. Where exactly? Why is it so important to know that they're there?
Because this is the whole avodah of living. That's what it means, yichudim al yoinim. Yichudim al yoinim doesn't mean I close my eyes and I'm mechaven, right? That right now, Shem Adna hit Shem Elikim, and sparks went into Shem Avaya, and from there there was a cosmic explosion, and then Shem Aleph Hey Yudke flew into Shem Shin Dalad Yud, and then into Shem Tzvayas, and something happened. So even if you believe it, okay. And real mekubalim, yeah, they daven and they mechaven with Shemus in this. Right. That's the whole void of the Maimer, that this is not from a Kabbalah. I received a letter after last Shir. I told you that in Keser Shem Tov, in Sefer Ben Peres Yosef, there's a letter that the Baal Shem Tov wrote to his brother-in-law, the Gershon Kitever, right? About an Aliyah Sanashama that he had under Shoshana Tovkov Zion in 1746. It's actually 2 years, a year after the Alter Rebbe was born. The Alter Rebbe was born Chai Elul Tov Kuf Hei, Kahos, 1745 in Elul, same day as the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov was also born Chai Elul. And a year and a few days later, Tov Kuf Zayin, the Baal Shem Tov had an Aliyah and a Shem. And that's where he says that he met Mashiach. It's a long letter. He describes it at length. It was very dangerous. Achia Shiloini said he'll take him. He says, Heichal HaMashiach. And he said he never went up so high. The Baal Shem Tov says about himself, to his brother, he never went up so high.
Inside.
Yeah, up, it doesn't mean the top of the Empire State Building. Oh, yeah. That you need a good cherry picker. We're talking inside here. Aliyas and Neshama, you could be sitting in one place. Nobody. The Neshama goes up. We learned in Basi Lagani that the Baal Shem Tov said at the end of his life, because of many tefillahs, he was spoiled that even Friday night, he should be able to answer people's questions. Even though he had such aliyas and Hashem on Shabbos, he was two-thirds up and one-third down, unlike the rest of the week. He should be able to answer people's questions. To answer people's questions, you have to relate to where they are. It's not a computer answering questions. You put it through an artificial intelligence, and we concoct an answer based on the data on the internet. He had to relate to them. How can he relate to them? So this was a unique chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov. That in the highest space, he can be in the lowest space. How? Because this is the whole word of Seder Ishtalshlus. The whole word of Seder Ishtalshlus is that the lowest space is not really a lowest space. It's a hechitimtza of how Atzmus Ein Sof is manifested through that place. So I'll call upon him in this letter, you understand, so it gives a whole new havana in that inyan of Lamata Adin Tachlis. So really, it's all one. Yeah, you said very well last year. Neshama Atzilis, Bri, Yitzir, Asiya. It's true in terms of vocation, not in terms of essence. In vocation, it's a different. A neshama of Atzilis experiences reality very different than a neshama of Asiya. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has Rishimis that he wrote for himself. After his Istalkus, they found it in his room and they published them. It's like a whole set of 50, around 15 books. It's Chidushei Torah that he wrote in his youth. So the Rebbe never published them. They were by him, but afterwards they published them. So it's all the things he wrote for himself. So a lot of very interesting things there. So there's also a diary there from things he heard from his father-in-law, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Dayatz. So he says that the Rebbe Dayatz told him that whenever anyone walked into his father, the Rebbe Rashab, on Yechidus, everyone walked in, he would smile. He would smile. So I was reading it, and I thought, okay, that's a beautiful quality. Somebody walks in, and you give a smile, right? It's called, I'm a Kabbalist, called Zebunim Yafis. So he explains that the Rebbe Dayatz told him why. Why did he smile? He says, how do you, listen to this, how do you make a chibur between Atzilis and Biyah? His father was a neshama of Atzilis. How could you connect Yechidus? Yechidus is connection, the deepest connection. From Atzilis to Bri Yitzir Asiya. He says, Simcha is paired together. Joy breaches borders. Breaches gedarim. Simcha paired together. So the simcha, the smile, was paired together between Atzilis and Biyah. So now there could be a Yechidus. Huh? There's no wall. Yeah, there's no wall. Ah, huh? Yeah, first. Simcha, it's a simcha, it's paid together. Simcha, simcha. You see, when Atzvus builds walls, you see, when a person is in a depression, they go behind walls, they're isolated. And you don't let anybody have access. Simcha is psichus, it's openness. Openness to what? First of all, openness to yourself. So that you can experience the flow and the resonance of all the parts of yourself. And that's why, by the way, more simcha also means more pain. People think it's the other way around. More simcha means you're open to the entire flow of the soul. So whatever is coming through is coming through. Not simcha is not pain. Simcha is joy. But someone says, I'm going to only experience laughter and not tears. They're not going to experience laughter. You know what it's like? If there's a leak in the house, so what do? We go to the boiler, we shut the water. So it's not just the leak is going to stop. The sinks are also not going to work. You can't take a bath. You can't take a shower. Why not? Because you shut the water. Sometimes we have pain as children, so we shut the water. We stop feeling. We disassociate, so you don't feel anything. You can't even feel your children. You can't feel the simcha of your children. You can't feel the simcha of your marriage. I can't feel the simcha of anything. Now you want me to feel the simcha of my relationship with God? I can't even feel me. You understand what I'm saying? When you open up the water, yeah, there's clean water, there's other water you have to work through, but it's flowing. So simcha means there's a flow, it's not stopped. So you're open to the entire resonance, to the entire symphony, to the entire dance in the human soul. And that includes a lot. L'mayla mayla din ketz l'mata mata din tachlis. The whole nekud of chassidus is that it's all achdus. It's not you went away from atzmos. Hashem is not stuck in Bini, he's not stuck in Asiya. So the whole Seder Ishtalshlus is the miracle of fusing oneness with every nuance and detail of a person's expression. You guys are typhus what I'm saying?
Doesn't reality mirror that? Same person, you used the example of a wife before. She'll tell you as much as a human can what it is, how you would define that emotion, that being. Same person is looking for each other. Then reality itself somehow would reflect it. So used to quote one of the Hasidic rabbis that would say, the chasorin that I see in Yenam is really something. So the reality itself mirrors
that. Yeah. Yeah.
And Hasidus then, in that sense, would teach a person how to define that mirroring.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's hard. It's not so... it's easier to give a shiur than it than to live it, because when I'm in that trigger, when I'm in that rabbit hole didn't listen to the shiur for whatever reason. I don't know why. I'm trying to get him to listen, but he doesn't listen. He's busy surviving. You understand? So it's all nice in the mind and in the heart, but this is it's the truth. So when I'm being schlepped down that emotional rabbit hole, whatever that looks like, it's not saying, okay, this is going to be an experiment of Seder Hishtashlus, of how Atzmus is manifested through this experience, because it's a real experience. That's the whole point. Seder Hishtashlus is not fake. It's not fictional. It's not a cute map with a lot of different levels that are all a joke. It's the real experience. It's infinite consciousness. Finding a finite experience. But the finite experience doesn't say it's infinite consciousness. It's a finite experience. And what if it's a dark experience? Finite mela. Finite, okay. But finite is finite. But finite is also the beginning of darkness. Like we learned in Basi Lagani, all darkness begins with finiteness. Right? The word ra means broken. It's broken off infinity. Once it's defined, now it evolves into separation, isolation, all the way into darkness. So it becomes, it's a very real reality. And when you say it's all achdus, so that means that through and in that experience, when a person can remain anchored in the truth of their soul, which is a chelik alakamima, and which is not a victim to the trigger, but it was sent on a mission through the trigger, so it's almost like you have to let it pass through you. You know, it's like passing through you, but not getting swept away with the waves. You know, the great surfers will tell you, don't fight the waves. Allow the waves to direct your journey, to create the momentum. Don't fight the wave. The wave is what you want to utilize as your instrument to be able to go up where you got to go to and go down and reach the destination you want to reach. So you're not entangled with an enemy, essentially. You could become entangled with it. It becomes me versus it. Because you don't realize your power. You don't realize how anchored you are in that space of goodness, in that space of holiness. So when the Baal Shem Tov writes to his brother-in-law about his Aliyas Neshama, he says, he asked Mashiach, when are you coming? Emesai Kasimar. And Mashiach said, L'chsheyefutzu mai nesecha chutza. When your wellsprings will be disseminated, chutza means to the most out remote spaces, and chutza doesn't only mean chutza geographically, that of course too, but it also means the chutza in the person. Save lachem ba'amalek, yeah, you have to go out, your chutza may nesech chutza. So the Baal Shem Tov added that Mashiach told him, this is much less known, Baal Shem Tov said, and that everybody and all of the Jews, yuchlu lechavin yichudim kemoyscha. Everybody will be able to do yichudim like you. That's what he says, those two things. So he asked him, when are you going to come? So he answered, everybody will be able to lechavin yichudim kemoyscha. That's in the letter, in that letter. So somebody writes to me, a very distinguished participant virtually in our class. You touched on something that I wanted clarification on for decades. The second part of the response of Mashiach to the Baal Shem Tov is, when doing Yichudim, as you do, will be a widespread experience by the Jewish people. So was Mashiach referring to combinations of letters and various configurations of God's names, which is how we understand Yichudim, right? You take different letters and you unify them and names and you unify them. For this, you have to have this encyclopedic knowledge and then you unify them in your brain and somehow it has an impact on reality. And that's what he means. And this is usually associated with the technicalities of practical Kabbalah, Kabbalah Mises. Somehow you could change things in the DNA of creation, which the Arizal warns against. So it's like, for many of us, that's like spooky stuff. And when somebody is doing it, either you become in awe of them or you run very, very far from them. You know, depends on your background, depends how much you were hurt in life, depends how cynical you are. Depends what your wife says, yeah. But what you're saying is Mashiach was referring to the personal inner avodah of revealing God's oneness within personal traumas. It's not my word, it's the email. Don't blame me. Within personal traumas, long-standing triggers, and banal daily challenges that can assume exaggerated importance. Due sometimes to the body's unmet needs, sleep deprivation, pain, thirst, hunger. Within tragedies, within the journeys of life. Mashiach is referring to the avodah of serving, to facilitate the revealment of Hashem's oneness within the darkness also of others. Because then I become a channel. The Baal Shem Tov we know was a teacher and also a healer. So I think this is one of the main messages here. When we speak about Yechudim, he says it's asked of every neshama, atzilus b'ri yitzir asiyah. This is the inner avodah that belongs to every person. So b'meila, in conclusion, this gives us a havana when we speak about neshama, which is bina. It's not just understanding things the way they can be filtered through the limits of intellect and understanding, and that itself, everyone has their own limited way of understanding things. But essentially, in one's awareness, the neshama is capable of getting everything. What do we mean, everything? Not everything in a way that I control it, because when you get everything, you're not controlling anything. You surrender. We only control when things are filtered so much that we feel that we can own them. When you get everything, basically, the self becomes subsumed in that oneness of ayin. So the bina takes the soul into the etzem, which is only being channeled through bina. This is the general point he wanted to say about the level of neshama. Now he speaks about ruach. What's ruach? This is all in the divine soul. He's going to go through all of this also in the animal soul. And here you start identifying the different experiences or frequencies where a person is in. Because the animal soul experiences also, it has nefesh and ruach and neshama, just like the divine soul. And the two are in a constant relationship. So that's what Siv Gimel is. Siv Gimel is ruach. So he says, V'ruach shebelev uklolus inyan amidus. Ruach in the lev, this is what refers to the midus, generally midus. V'nyani b'nefesh elikiz. So we spoke about seichel, bina, that's neshama. And now we speak about midus. V'inyani b'nefesh elikis. What is this in the nefesh elikis? Sheyesh b'koyach miyuchad. Sheinyani hu liyis ava v'yira. U'shara midus sheman fe ava v'yira. There's a special koyach in the nefesh elikis, which means a special, so to speak, fuse or faculty. And what is its inyan? What is its entire theme? What is its functionality? What is its purpose? To experience Ava, love, Yira, awe, Ushara, Midas, and all of the other Midas, which are the branches, they're the offspring, they're the derivatives of Ava and Yira. Generally, we speak about seven Midas, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yisoid, Malchus, but the first two are Ava and Yira, and the other ones are branches. Why are they called branches? The tree is a tree. The tree has roots, the tree has a trunk, and then all the branches, Anafim, are called branches. They're derivatives of that tree. Because Ava and Yira are the two Midas. Ava means love, and Yira means awe. Essentially, Ava means, I want to be closer. I feel connection to you. I feel attachment. I love you. I love it. That's Ava. And Yira is the sense of awe, of reverence. It's the respect, and it's the space that we create out of respect. Right? When you say the mitzvah of Yira, Yira is Hashem Alekecha Tira. Versus V'Ahavta is Hashem Alekecha. Ava is attraction, and Yira is an element of rejection. Now, there's rejection in a negative way, but here we're not talking in a negative way. Here we're talking in terms of awe, reverence, the respect, boundaries. So Ava and Yira ultimately are the first two. Ava is that feeling of closeness, of intimacy, of oneness, of removing boundaries and creating fusion and oneness. And then Yira is recoiling, so to speak, and recognizing differentiation, diversity, you versus me, your space, my space. And as we know, the two are very, very important in relationships. On one end, if you only have Yira, we just have distance. But if we only have Ava, we can have enmeshment. You know what enmeshment means. And that Vayter takes away the uniqueness of the individual. Enmeshment, where you don't recognize anymore, Shali, Shalach, Shalach, Shali, Pirkei Avos is not very fond of. Shali, Shalach, Shalach, Shali, I'm you, you're me. Because then there's no you, there's no me. The famous Vart of the Kotzker Rebbe, right? If I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am not I, and you are not you, but if I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, I am I, and you are you. And now we can begin to schmooze. So what is he saying? If I am I because you are you, in other words, my entire I is just a response to you, and your entire you is a response to I, so there's no solid person. So there's no I, there's no you. I also can't even rely on you because the whole you is just based on me. So it's like you're looking to see which mood I'm in, and that's how you're going to become. So you're like wax that's waiting to be molded by the other person. So there's no person I can lean on. Right? That's why people pleasers are very hard to have a relationship with them, because who am I having a relationship with somebody who's changing based on what they think is my need. So like, who am I connecting to? I don't have anybody to connect to. It's like I have to look in the mirror. Like you look in the mirror and you see what I look like, and now you become that. So on one hand, you're trying to be so good and so nice. Like you want to be so easy, but essentially it ends up, there's nobody here. So that's why distance is as important as closeness. Ava and Yira are the two polar middos. From it comes ultimately all the other middos. They're called branches. That's what Avram and Yitzchak are. Avram is Ava. And it says Yitzchak is Yira. The Zohar says Avram is Av, Avram Oyavi. Yitzchak is called Pachad Yitzchak in Chumash. Avram's message was, Avram came to the world and said, everything is one. Everything is one. That was Avram. Vayikrisham b'shem Hashem keil oylam. So the Alter Rebbe teaches in Lekut HaTorah Kisav, he doesn't say keil ha-oylam. He called out in the name of Hashem, keil ha-oylam, the God of the world. He doesn't say that. He says keil oylam, God the world, not keil ha-oylam. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Lekut HaTorah, Kisava, and other places, that that was the whole Chiddush of Avram Avinu. It's not Keil Ha'olam. It's Keil Is Olam. Ein Oid Malvadei. So essentially, all the differentiations are just our own perception, and really everything is one. That's incredible. That was a revolutionary idea. That's the core of Yiddishkeit. Achdus. And that's what's going to be revealed in Geulah. Nigla kvoid Hashem v'ro chal basa yaduf v'Hashem dibber. So what does Yitzchak do? Yitzchak says, there's boundaries. Yesh gvulot, there's boundaries. In order to be able to maintain that oneness, you need boundaries. That's the concept of yir, that's the concept of gvura. That's the concept of limits. In other words, in the name of oneness, you can obliterate all boundaries, and instead of experiencing the oneness, a person could just lose everything. So, it's a very, very delicate balance.
But this is Avraham. This is his core.
This is Avraham's core. This is what Avraham manifests. And then Yitzchak manifests the concept of Gvura and Yir, and then Yaakov needs to bring the two together. We have to stop thinking in terms of polarities. I told you last time. There's oxygen and there's food. The whole idea here is that there's nothing that's not shalim. Every element of Seder Ishtalshalus is part of everything. It's just manifested through this quality. So there's nothing that's incomplete. That's why the Baal Shem Tov said, Reb Sadi Gaon, he quotes Reb Sadi Gaon, Ha'etzem k'shata toifes b'chelke, ata toifes b'kulay. Etzem, core, when you grasp one part of it, you grasped all of it. Why? Because if you're touching the core, it's an unbelievable vart. If you're touching the core, there's no such a thing apart. What do you mean? So why are you saying the part? Because if you're touching the core, it means that every part is a full manifestation of the core. So why is it a part? Because it's the way the etzem is being manifested through this part. So the part is never competing with another part. It's never afraid of another part. So when you go back to the real etzem, to the real self, all parts are welcome. Because all parts... I know that was an IFS line. Okay. But it's a haflo de kavart. I had an interview with Richard Schwartz. He made the IFS system. It's very popular today in psychology, IFS, internal family systems. So it's all based that a person has different parts. We don't have a mono brain. You don't have one brain. You have different brains. So we did an interview a few months ago. So I told him that there's a book. I told him there's a book, a Jewish book, and I quote it from Tanya, chapter 28, Perek Chof Chest. Alter Rebbe says that people get very upset that in the middle of davening they have machshava zaras. You're having a good davening, and suddenly you have all these crazy thoughts, you know? Or not crazy, but just overwhelming, debilitating, or just disturbing thoughts. So they say, the Alter Rebbe says, people say that it means that I'm a jokester. It means I'm an illegitimate, deceptive person. I'm a liar. I'm just a dishonest person. Your davening is garnished. It's like the signs in shul, right? Asur lispal b'shas hadibur, you know? You're not allowed to daven in the middle of talking. You were middle of talking, and then somebody once came to the chayz of Lublin, and he says he has machshav azaris by davening. So he said, no, by you, the davening is the machshav azara. The machshav azara is not zara. The machshav is normal. The davening is the machshav azara. Yeah. So the chayzer, he was trying to tell him, you know, we need here, you need a reset, restart. Like, you're fooling yourself. So this is Alter Rebbe's taina that people say it's not an emes a davening. Alter Rebbe says like this, Bazal, he says, ha-emes hoya kidivreyem. Ilu hoysa nefesh achas levada mispalelas vihi amad heres machshavas zoras. Avala emesi shein shtei nefoshas nelchamay zu al zu. The truth is, if there was one soul, then yeah, then either you're a meshuganah, yeah, or you're a liar. A minute like this, I love you, I hate you, I want to be with you, I don't want to be with you. Hakmanish kinshainik. What do you want? There's different parts. One part said this, another part said this. It's different parts. And if you have 100 people sitting at a table, you want everybody to say the same thing. The Nefesh HaLikis has one view, the Nefesh HaBamas has one. And Alter Rebbe explains, Fakert, when one part sees that the other one is getting so strong, it thinks it's going to be defeated. And if it gets defeated, you won't be able to live. So now, Alter Rebbe's mashal, when you wrestle somebody and you almost get them down, what happens? Suddenly, they find new energy to fight back and they resist. Why'd you wake up now? Shoita, you're almost done. You're almost killed. Yeah, of course he woke up now because he's about to be killed. So he says, when the Machshava Zoras go crazy, it's a compliment. It's a compliment. The parts got triggered because... Sedalta Rebbe's word in Tanya. I told this to him. He couldn't believe it. He says, when was this written? I said, in the 1780s. The 1780s, because this is like a quote. The mistake is you think you have one part, so you're getting all crazy. Like, who am I? It's different parts having different... That awareness is an incredible awareness. So now you could see that. How did I get into parts? Why am I talking about parts? Etzem. That's the whole vart. So what's the vart of Seder Ishtal Shalus? Yeah? What's the vart of Seder Ishtal Shalus? That once you touch etzem, then there's no chelik. Of course there's a chelik, but the whole chelik is just a way of channeling the etzem. So you're not afraid of any chelik. And that's what yichudim means. That's what he said, that when everybody will be able to make yichudim like you. What does it mean, yichudim like you? It's not a compliment to the Baal Shem Tov, everybody will copy you. When this consciousness will permeate our inner hearts, our inner brains, our homes, our communities, and our world, this is essentially what Geula looks like. This is what redemption looks like. This is what real bliss is. This is what it is. You have so many questions.
I'm sorry. So, if a person is having so much bliss, how does he have time to start knowing which frequency he's in? You're saying that's not the main. Don't think about what frequency you're in. You're in a frequency. And if it's a good one, stay in.
When I'm in a frequency, yeah, and sometimes I have to work things through. I have to, with compassion, work it through. That's what Seder Ishtalshelus means. Seder Ishtalshelus is the blueprint of the whole Avoda. When people start learning Chassidus, it's very confusing. It's like mixes Kabbalah with Avoda and all these spheres and Madregas. Like, what do you want from me? I'm just trying to be a happier person. What's Vilsta for me? So a person who's just learning it philosophically or just for theology to get another shit, to fine. So it's the Chatchila more abstract. But for a person, what we call a mavaker, somebody searching, it can get very, very confusing. It goes back to the source, like I said last time. There's seeing healing in the context of illness, and there's seeing illness in the context of healing. That's where real healing comes. As long as we see healing in the context of illness, I have a boo-boo, now give me Tylenol, that's not healing. It's healing that's responding to illness. It's like a defensive war. We don't want a defensive war. We want an offensive war. Defensive war is defined by the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? An offensive war is defined by you, not by your enemy. You decide when to attack, how to attack. You create the goal. It's a different thing. It's what Israel is scared of always. Always defending, always defending. You shoot another missile, I'll find another technology to defend myself. That's not what you need. I'll send missiles and I'll make a new technology against you because we're brilliant, because we're high tech. It's reactive. So the same as in healing. As long as it's reactive, the healing is very limited.
So we have to live life as a white chess piece. Atazai. And the idea is that you have to figure out what your moves are.
Yeah. Yeah. Lechatchila, not b'diavad. Healing, illness in the context of healing. That's what you need. See your illness, see your challenge in the context of healing. See it in the context of your soul. Let your soul define your trauma. Don't allow your trauma to define your soul. That was a good one. It wasn't prepared. It came. You hear, you understand the difference? I have so many things, so let me find my soul. So my trauma is now going to give permission to find that soul that's going to allow me to feel a little better. No. This is what he's saying here. Go back to Atzmos. You're from Atzmos. Neshama shenasat b'tahori. See the illness in that context. See it as the journey. Now it means fundamentally you were never ill. That means fundamentally you're healthy. You understand? You're coming from a different place. Now it's very hard because my trauma doesn't like this. You know why? Because it's going to get defeated and it's very afraid, it's trying to protect me. If I get defeated, who's going to protect you? I'm the one protecting you. Ich bin der Meshugan who had Mesidus Nefesh to protect you in a crazy world. So you have to understand that too. It's also a part. That's the power that you don't have to be afraid of it. It's also a part. Atzmus is not afraid of any level of Seder Ishtalshelus. Nothing is going to get it stuck. It's not going to become a victim. Because it never gets fenced. It never gets fenced into a madrega. Seder Ishtalshelus needs to be fluid. That's why the Baal Shem Tov, the Alter Rebbe, that's why Simcha was so important by them. What does Simcha do? It removes blockages. So now there's a flow. So Atzmus can flow through the whole Ishtalshelus. When you're in a place of joy, you can bring oxygen to all the blockages and open them up. You remove the knots. You untie the knots. Atzvus is, I'm knotted. My system is knotted. It's knotted. Everything is knotted. So the oxygen can't go there. So the relationship can't go there. Simcha, it says, poyed its geder. It says, it brings, what does Simcha do? since a person is a mirror image of heaven, and the microcosm is a reflection of the macro, so when I go into a place of simcha, the whole system opens up in the entire cosmos. So what happens? So there's a flow. So now Hishtalshelus is not isolated from its source. So everything gets its tikkun, everything gets its sublimation. The Tzemach Tzedek writes in a letter, the Alter Rebbe ran away from Napoleon. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Mevorchim Elul Tovkofayin Beis. Napoleon invaded Russia June 1812. Sivan Yud Beis Tamos Tovkof Ayin Beis, I believe. 1812, the summer of 1812, June, July 12. He crossed the river Vilna, Kovna, and made his way through Lithuania into Belarus and ultimately into Russia. Napoleon wanted it all. The Alter Rebbe was living in Liadi, Belarus, near Lithuania. So as Napoleon was literally a few miles away, Erev Shabbos, Kodesh Mavarchim Elul, he escaped. Alter Rebbe escaped. And he began to run. And he ended up in Ukraine, southern Ukraine. And that winter, which was one of the coldest winters in Russian history, and it caused Napoleon to lose the war because he simply could not maintain his soldiers in that horror of a Russian frostbite, right? It's also what defeated Hitler in Russia. Hitler and Napoleon, both of them. So the Alter Rebbe was running away and he fell ill. And he passed away in a place called Piena, not far from Hadich. That's where he's buried. Mitzoy Shabbos Chavdala Tevis Tovkofayin Gimel. The end of 1812. This was like a few months after he ran away. It was unexpected. Alter Rebbe was healthy, he was strong, but from all the yesurim of running away, and he fell ill and he passed away Chavdala Tevis. So Tzemach Tzedek writes that Mitzoy Shabbos, that Mitzvah Shabbos, sometimes it was like around 10:30. Kachatzai Shoyed around 10:30. In the Shkadam to Shachon Aruch Harav, he davened Ma'ariv, he made Avdolna, it says, B'tzlilus, B'tzlilus Adas, B'tzlilus Nifla, was tremendous Dveikus, and then he returned his Neshama, B'chat K'tiris Katan, the introduction to Shachon Aruch Harav, his children write about this Talkus. Tzemach Tzedek writes that Mitzvah Shabbos, he was davening Ma'ariv. And he was in the room of the Alter Rebbe when he was davening Ma'ariv. Alter Rebbe was already not feeling well. He was in bed. It was literally a few, it's winter time, so Mitzvah Shabbos, today was 10:30, so this was Mamashev a little while before he passed away. The Tzemach Tzedek says, I was davening benigun shel Marash Chayda. I was davening Ma'ariv. I guess he felt, you know, the situation is not good. So he said he was davening with a nigun of Marash Chayda. And he says, my Zayde didn't say it. He waited till I finished. And when I finished, he turned to me, and he said that he heard from the Maggid, he heard from his Rebbe, that it says in Yecheskel. Yecheskel says that he saw Ra'isi. I saw the Kisei HaKavod, the throne, in Ma'aseh Merkava, and on it I saw, right, V'hinei Dmus Kemara Adam Yoshev Al HaKisei. Dmus, the image of Hashem sitting on the throne. So he says, Kemara Adam. It's like the matter of an Adam. So the Weltheit, the Bershtos Teich is, it's Kvayachal Hashem looked like an Adam. It's called in Kabbalah Adam Elyon, the spheres. The Magad Teich, Vihine Dmus Kemara Adam. Mara in Hebrew is a mirror. Mara is a mirror. Vihine Dmus, the Dmus of Hashem is Kvayachal Kemara Adam Allah Melmaila. The image that you show comes back to you Melmaila. So he told the Alter Rebbe that it says in Zohar Parshas Tetzave Tochazi Alma Tatoga Gavna the Alma Ilah, the lower world and the higher world reflect each other. So when a person is in a state of Simcha, that energy reverberates in all of the worlds, and that's what comes back. And Chas V'Shalom Lahepach. So he told the Tzemach Tzedek to be in a state of simcha, and then shortly after he passed away. That's what the Tzemach Tzedek writes. I guess it was a tzavah to him. So what's the havana here? This is the power of Simcha. Now, what does this mean? You're saying it's very nice. Well, lapel, the person is in another place. Right? So what do you do with those parts? So that's what we're talking about. Simcha doesn't mean you bury and repress your other parts. That's not what Simcha means. Simcha means the Nefesh HaLekis is in a state of Simcha. I can tune into that, even though there's other parts that are giving me fear and insecurity and have 1,000 messages, and they have to be worked through. I don't have to be afraid of them. It doesn't take away from the fact that the soul is in a state of joy because it's in a state of trust and connection and oneness, like the Chavis HaLavavis explains in Shara B'Tachin. Simcha doesn't mean that I have to deny those parts of me that have different messages. No, it's part of Seder Ishtashlus where I have to bring in the Simcha too. But when a person goes into that place, so the blockages can open up and it's the best thing for those parts. When you're in Faket, if I'm feeling all this anxiety, so when I can tune into that place that's feeling joy, it will help with the anxiety. How can you talk about Besimcha? I have so much anxiety. That's why you have to talk about Simcha. Simcha doesn't mean you don't have anxiety. Simcha doesn't mean disassociate from your emotions. Simcha doesn't mean pinch your cheeks and smile. And even when someone is beating you up inside, just smile and make believe you're happy. That's not what Simcha means. Simcha is shalvas hanefesh. Simcha is the inner place of the soul that has serenity. It has serenity. Huh? And it exists in the person. And then from that space, you want to be able to talk to the other spaces. More childlike spaces that are justifiably, you know, they're rowdy, they're shaken up. I know it's all easier said than done, I know that. That's why it's called Avoida. But this is the only real Avoida. Every other Avoida is fiction. You know what I mean? It's either I'm distracting myself, so I'm becoming addicted to my phone or whatever other kosher addictions I have, and sometimes not kosher, even if it has a hechsher from somebody. So I'm either distracting myself through this or through that, or I detach. This avoida is the avoida of oneness, and it's daily. It's the daily avoida of creating that achdus. So we were talking about Avram and Yitzchak, Ave v'Yida. You remember what I was talking about? Right, so the boundaries of Yireh, the boundaries of Yireh are very important. Boundaries doesn't mean so we're not one. In order for us to really be one, in a world where there can be so many distractions, a person must have boundaries. Because you want the oneness to be revealed. If you just surrender, you say everything is one, so now the klippas can also take over. You want to make sure that the MS is one, that the truth gets manifested. Not just yidikas achitzayinim, which means external blockages just take over the whole system. And you call that oneness. That's not oneness. That's a churban. If a person wakes up in the morning, yeah, and says, everything is one. So my emails are one, and my telephone is one, and my food is all one. It's all achdus Hashem, yeah? So for 2 hours, I'm answering emails. Then I'm hungry, so now it's time to have a meal. At this point, the person is so disoriented and so detached from achdus. Instead, in the name of oneness, they just allowed all their blockages to take over. So the person has to have boundaries, like the Gemara says, you know, what you do before davening, what you don't do before davening. That's a boundary. Places I will look at, places I will not look at. Websites I will not go to. Things my eyes will not look at. I'm going to close my eyes. Conversations I will not join. Well, why? Why? Achdus. So it's not achdus. It's lashon hara and rechilus. It's not achdus. It's klippa, and it's going to schlep. It's going to take you out of that truth. Every person needs to know its boundaries in machshava, in dibur, and in maisa. It's what I do, what I don't do, what I say, what I don't say, and where I allow my thoughts to go, and where I don't allow them to go. So Avram represented the Nekud of Achdos, the Nekud of all-inclusivity. Yitzchak now created the structures for that. In order to have that, you must have structure. If a person says, since the world is one, so therefore, why should I treat my children different than other children? I'm going to be nice to all, you know, Stalin wanted to remove families. You know that? You come from, huh? You don't know, one of the brilliant ideas of Stalin was, everybody is one, so what do you need families for? The government will raise children with a consciousness of oneness. You understand the Churban? No families. Why should there be families? Oh, your family, you take care of your kids. The fabric that Hashem made for there to be oneness is that there's a family unit. And when you get love from your parents, right, you can give that love to other people. And there's boundaries. Somebody says, I love everybody. Why should I be loyal to one woman? I'm in love with the whole world. Kiddushin. Let everybody be open. They call it open love. There's nothing that undermines love like open love. There's no churban to love like open love. Why? It's open. We just say everything. Einayt mulvaday. It becomes an insignificant, it's a joke. There's no exclusivity, there's no intimacy. You need asur lakul al mekakdash. It's the exclusivity of a relationship that makes it unique, that makes it better, that makes it trustworthy. And when you're in that space, now you can channel that to every person in the appropriate ways. The Rebbe once gave a mashal about a mechitza in shul. He says, people say, what do you need mechitzas for? Everybody's is one with God. So he gave a mashal. He said, imagine you want to cook something. So he said, I don't know, what do I need a pot for? Why can't fire and water? It's all achdus Hashem, ya'atzmo. So let's bring the fire and the water together and we'll cook up a beautiful piece of meat. So what's the end of the story? The guy made a fire and then he brought water and he put the meat in it and he's still waiting for it to cook. There's no water, there's no fire, so alts ain't churban. So what do? You make a mechitza. You build a pot. A pot is a mechitza, literally. And the fire is under the mechitza. And the fire is not allowed through the mechitza. And the water is on the other side of the mechitza. And what happens? Beautiful. The fire heats up the water. The water looks to the fire looks to the water, they benefit each other. The water gives something to the fire can't do because you can't put the meat inside the fire. And the fire gives the water something it can't do because the water is cold, it's not going to cook. And together, you have a beautiful dish. How? Because you had a mechitza. So without obliterating differences, in the source, there's no differences. In the source, there's no differences, no shtalshlos. But the way it comes out in shtalshlos, if you obliterate differences, you obliterate the whole story of creation. So we go back to Atzmos. Or you go down into Klippa where there's no Achdus anymore. You obliterate differentiation. And when you obliterate differentiation, what you do is you have to create new types of differentiations that are false. That's what's happening now.
If you have bigger and better walls, how do you get the Teferis? What is that about?
So Teferis is that balance. Yeah, the Gemara says in Brachas, Haroya Gdeira Bechaloim Yitzapa L'Shalom. If you dream about pots, you should anticipate peace. I don't know if anybody here dreams about pots, Gdeira, but if you see a pot in a Chalom, I guess if you're very hungry, and you see a pot, a Chalom pot, a Yotchapa, Yitzapa L'Shalom, what's the Shailchas? I think the Ksav Sofer says, because the pot makes Shalom between the fire and the water. So Teferis is that ability to be able to blend the two by understanding the role of each one. The Sfasemis writes, it says in Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megure Aviv, Be'eretz Knan. So the Maggid of Mizrish says that Megure in Hebrew means the place where he lived, like Ger, like Lagur. Gur Baritz Azaz. But in Hebrew it comes from the word fear. Es Asher Yagurti Ba. What I feared came, Eiv says. Mugger means fear, awe, dread. So Megure means Yire. So the Maggid says, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megure Aviv. Yaakov went and he settled in the land of the Yire of his father, of Yitzchak. So the Sfasemis writes, pretty intense vart, that Yaakov in Charan was really a replica of Avram Avinu. What was Yaakov doing in Charan? He was sent on a shlichus to go find all the sparks by Lavan. You could say like this, Yaakov built the first Chabad house in Charan. I don't know if it's the most comfortable place for a Chabad house between Turkey and Iraq, southern Turkey, northern Iraq. But Yaakov built Mitosei Shleima in the depth in the depths of the klipa of Lavan, he built a center for holiness, for Kedusha. And it wasn't so easy. So that was the p'chin of Avram Avinu. He finished the journey. It's time to go back. Back to the spiritual enclave, to the spiritual cocoon of Chevron. So now Yaakov said, you know what, I had enough of Avram Avinu. I had enough of the universal tolerance. It's time to go back, Be'eretz Begudei Yaviv. Time to create boundaries, yira, awe. You know what he says? What happened then? He says, so the Shvatim adopted that avoida. And the next thing was, kafetz alav rugzei shel Yosef. They couldn't deal with Yosef anymore. The whole malchleikus with Yosef came out. And the reason is, because Yitzchak always comes after Avram in order to serve Avram, not the other way around. Yitzchak is a channel for Avram, not a substitute for Avram. Boundaries are never the objective. The objective is oneness. To achieve oneness, you must have boundaries. To achieve oneness, you must have limits. To achieve oneness, you must have sur meirav asei toif, kabbalah sal malchus shamayim. To achieve oneness, you have to have differentiation. Because if not, everything gets obliterated, everything gets absolved, and we're not one. We're just, I'm not me and not you, and the kavana was dira b'tachtoinim. It should be a relationship between two, not obliterate the differences. So when you obliterate those differences, what happens is it's not a real achdus anymore. What's the shayla? Zay mazbe the shayla. So you're saying, what doesn't bittul mean? You dissolve, right? You become nothing. Bittul is the death of the ego, the death of the separateness, the death of the me as an isolated creature that's detached from the source. Bittul doesn't mean the death of the self as a channel for Hashem. Because if it means that, basically, it means that the whole creation was a mistake. You created me, so I should be not me. Okay, so don't create me. So bittul means we connect everything. You connect the self to the true self, so that the self becomes a channel of the true self. Now, bittul itself, there's endless levels. On the deepest level of bittul, the self is so connected to the core that you don't call it a self anymore. Not because it doesn't exist, because its existence is beyond anything that will limit it as anything but the source. You understand? Actually, bittul makes it a much deeper existence. Bittul connects it to the ultimate existence. So Yitzchak is here to serve Avram, not to become a replacement for Avram. What that means in very practical words is, yeah? Any person who wants to live in a space of MS, you have to create boundaries for Sheker. You have to say, this is not for me. This is not for me. I can't go here. I can't be here. Because I'm not going to experience Achdus over there. I'll just be derailed and I'll become crazy. And it's not respect for my level of Seder Shtalshlus. You have to respect Seder Shtalshlus. Respect it means you have to channel the oneness through who you are. And this is going to take me away. It's going to destroy me. That's not Achdus. It's Churban. But if that creates a person who's busy judging everybody else, now you defeated the whole purpose. Kafetz alav rugzei shel Yosef, what happened? They started to judge Yosef. You're not frum enough. You're not frum enough. I don't like how you dress. What's with the hair? What are you dreaming about? This is nishta chsedesh abacher. That's not a chsedesh abacher. Sinish ta yeshivish, a yeshivish ben Teira. Huh? I hear you. I stand corrected. It's right away. You don't look like... The focus is you don't look like me. You don't look like me. It's a very subtle thing. You understand? Yitzchak says you must have boundaries. You need midas hayira. If not, ava becomes meaningless. It's like the extreme left liberal love today. What is it? Hamas? Hamas are the tzaddikim. We love. Amalek becomes the tzaddik. La achdus Hashem. So what happens? Innocent people are destroyed because your vision of oneness. Everything is one in Atzmus. Yeah, but there's a world where there's Toiv and there's Ra. So how do you reveal Achdus and Toiv and Ra? You have to cling to the Toiv, not make the Ra Toiv. That's not Achdus. Corrupting everything. You're corrupting all the files. That starts in a person themselves. To turn the Yetzirah into the Yetzirah Toiv and the Yetzirah Toiv into the Yetzirah, that's not going to create oneness. That's going to surrender to the Klippa. It's going to make the Klippa stronger and it's going to take you further away from oneness. But the boundaries in the year is not the objective. The objective is not you're bad, I'm good. That's not the objective. The objective is Achdus. The objective is love. The objective is connection. In order for me to be able to be who I am as a channel, as an ambassador of love, light, hope, empathy, healing, and geula consciousness, lamata aden tachlis. In order for me, for you, for us to be able to radiate that, I have to remain extremely pure and pristine, extremely pure. I can't unplug. If you unplug the plug, your plug, you're not a channel anymore. So yeah, I have to, if there's something that's going to pull out the plug, I have to protect myself from it. That's why we put something around the plug. You know, don't touch. Why? Because you have to protect it. You have to protect that secret. You have to protect that oneness. That's the point of boundaries. If the main part of a marriage is, right, there's nobody else allowed in our life. Everyone is not good. What about us? Oh, we also don't like each other. We don't like anybody. We don't like each other. Tosfos, there's two explanations why it's called Kiddushin. In Daf Beis and Tosfos of Kiddushin. One is, Asr la kol alma kehekdesh. A woman is like hekdesh. It's sacred. Asr la kol alma, not everybody can have contact. There's a sacredness. So that's Asrila. That's the negative, the boundary. And then the second reason is Mikudeshes, Miyuchedes, Mizumenes. There's Dasei Toif. She's designated to you. There's exclusivity, there's intimacy. You're designated to her. Hariat Mikudeshes, the word Kedusha, goes together. It's Haba Hatalia. In order for us to be able to have that special relationship, yes, we need to build a wall. It's called a house. It's called a home. If I take down all the walls and everyone sleeps in the bedroom and everybody is married to me, what happens to that relationship? Nothing. You become more isolated than ever before. But the point is not the wall. The point is the connection. So when the Shvatim, the Sfasama says this, it's not my vart, when the Shvatim went into a place of Megure, of every, Yira became the Inyan, they became the Avoida, instead of just a channel for Avram Avinu. The main Inyan is to say, you know, that you're not good enough, the superior than I, it's not Yitzchak anymore, so it became Machloikas. Machloikas doesn't come from people being different. Machloikas comes from the fact that somehow your differences irk me and drive me crazy. And I can't connect to you. There's no trust anymore. There's no love. And machlokes comes from the fact that I am I doesn't allow me to really understand that you are you. And machlokes comes on a deeper level from the fact that I start worshiping my individuality rather than understanding individuation is a mitzvah. Individuality can become egotistical, not understanding that there's a larger truth and a whole that we're all part of. That's what creates the machlekas. And so when Yaakov went out, all the stones were fighting and they became one stone. It says in Medrash there were 12 stones. So it was the 12 shvatim. They become an even achas. Not that they lose their identity. But in the identity, there's a oneness. So that's why Ava and Yira are the two big features here. It's clear. Let's learn this another few minutes. Vahainu, what this means is, we're talking now about Ruach, the Geshem, Sheesh, Banashama, Keich, Lovin, Alasik, Belikus, Adal, Dargis, Ayosin, Nailas. Just like the Neshama has the power to understand and comprehend Elikus godliness until the highest levels, like we explained, K'moikin, Yesh, Banashama, Keich, L'Soyde, Ba'avav, L'Soyde, Be'yida, La'avis, Hashem, Alekech, L'Yidis, Hashem, Alekech. Just like there's the Neshama, which is the Bina, the ability to comprehend, there's also the power in the neshama, the capacity in the neshama to experience ava, to experience love, and to experience yira, to experience awe. Like the pasuk says, to love Hashem, your God, and to have yira, to have awe from Hashem, your God. In Parshas Ekev, v'chol ha'nofim shemistafim iza, and all the branches that come out of it. So there's the neshama level of the soul, and there's the ruach level of the soul. The neshama level of the soul is its ability to comprehend. The ruach level of the soul is its ability to experience the visceral emotion, the love, the connection, and the yira, the awe. And what is the yira? What is really the yira? The yira is the fear of destroying that relationship. That's what yira really means. That's what it says in Tanya. Shaloi liparid. The yira shaloi liparid. In other words, if I really love someone, I'm afraid. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of destroying such a powerful connection. And that's why people think yira is like this negative thing, like fear. No, I want to love. No. You want to fear. If you have good love, you have good fear. I'm afraid of ruining such a powerful, blissful relationship. Yeah, I'm afraid. And you know what? It can get ruined like this. One conversation, right? One act can ruin it, at least temporarily. You'll have to rebuild it. But yeah, it's fearful. Fearful in a very good way. A wrong move can literally take me out of the space of love. Sometimes a person's heart is open, and then they make a mistake because of a temptation, and their heart goes back into jail. And it takes a few days until they can recover, sometimes a few weeks. So there's yira, it's respect for a hierarchy. It's respect for boundaries. You know, what's pshat on Oved Hashem and Tanya, you have the Beinoni, what is it? It's somebody who knows that every move makes a difference. Every conversation has consequences. If you want to sit around the Shabbos table, on Bereden de ganze Welt, if you don't fill your soul, then there's no consequences. You know, it's like, I can eat and eat, you eat potato chips, eat ice cream, eat another, and then eat some pizza, eat some cheesecake, it's no difference. But the moment you feel your soul, if you're in touch with yourself, you realize words have consequences, thoughts, actions. So there's yira, there's a sense of, it's called self-respect, basically. It's called self-respect. Respect for which self? Respect for the soul. So that's where there's avas Hashem alakach and yira Hashem alakach. If you want to put it in a little more in a humorous fashion, you could say it's extremely scary to feel that somebody loves you so much. When you can experience a level of love that is so powerful, it's very scary. Because it's like, if you don't love me so much and I'm just a little nobody, so then okay. The moment you realize how loved you are, how much is at stake in your existence, it's like, oh my God, really? You understand? So yira actually comes from ava. Al pi chassidus, yira comes from ava. When you realize how much you're loved, I don't mean realize here in the brain. When you can feel it, avas oylam aftano Hashem alakeinu, it's like, wow, it's scary. It's scary in a good way. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard for people to understand this because it's very hard for us to know what it feels like to be loved very intensely. There's so many messages.
Just for free.
Like, what did I do to deserve it? It's not true. For many of us, there's such a deep message that you're not really loved unless you're going to perform well, that it's even hard to understand it. Yeah. This is not Yiras Ha'inish, it's Yiras HaRaimimus. Yiras Boishas, Yiras HaRaimimus. There's different levels of Yira in Reishas Chachma Shara Yira. So there's a capacity, the soul has it. One of the fuses of the soul is called Koyach Ahava, Koyach Hayira. And you say, what is it based on? Since the soul is a chelek elekami mal mamish, so he says that's what it's based on. Its relationship with truth exists on every level. And that's the vart here. Don't get stuck in ishtalshalos. We say, why should I love you? Why? That's not the vart. Since the neshama is mushish and atzmos, and atzmos Hashem chose to be manifested through the experience of seichel, there should be able to be understanding. That's a way that atzmos expresses himself. Not the only way, but it's a way. Don't get stuck in it. It's a way. It's a way of awareness, understanding. There's a way atzmos expresses himself through love. Atzmos expresses himself through awe. Those are all frequencies of atzmos. Since the neshama is a chelik elekami mal mamash, the neshama mirrors that. So mele, the neshama experiences truth through seichel. The neshama experiences truth through love. And the neshama experiences truth through awe. These are innate qualities that exist, different fuses in the soul that is open to all the electromagnetic spiritual frequencies of the divine source. The soul has antennas. So the soul picks up Bina, the soul picks up Ava, the soul picks up Yira, and it embodies it, it channels it. That's what the Ava of the soul is. It's a whole different type of Ava. It's not, I love you because you did me a big favor yesterday. You see the difference? This is a hemshach to what he said before. It's Atzmus embodying itself through Ava, through Yira. And there's different fuses in the soul. I can tune into this. You open it up and the soul is now channeling life through love. And channeling life through Yira. It's the resonance. It's the resonance of the divine love that comes through the soul. The resonance of divine awe that comes through the soul. And that's what we call Seder Ishtalshlos. So the soul has that koyach. Now, I may be blocked to my soul, that my soul may be blocked. That's a tragedy. That's what a real block, the blockage is, I don't have access to my soul. Nothing. So I look for substitutes. So instead of love, I look for attention. Instead of love, I look for validation. Instead of love, I look for approval. Instead of love, I look for popularity. Instead of love, I look for celebrity status. Instead of love, I look for people to say, give me compliments. That's complete blockage. In the soul you have, the soul is like Rabbi Yehuda Halevi sings in one of his piyutim, we say it on Tisha B'Av. Tzion haloi sishali l'shloim asirayach. So he speaks about Yerushalayim. So he says, ani kinar l'shirayach. Right? I am a harp to your melodies. And then it was paraphrased in the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. But it comes from Yehuda Levi. So the soul is a kinar, the soul is a harp, l'shirayich, to the melodies of divine frequencies. And every chord channels every vibration, very good, every vibration, right? The string theory. Every vibration channels another energy. The soul is filled with possible vibrations. So there's the vibration of Seichel, there's the vibration of Ava, there's the vibration of Yira. Ani kiner l'shirayich. That's the neshama. So now the b'chin of Ruach, he's going to get into the union of Midas. Okay. Have a beautiful day. Continue Be'ezer Hashem, Monday morning, 7:45.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.